Bucks Uncensored is driven by Mastro Subaru and fueled by Buffalo Wild Wings. Get to B-Dubs for happy hour and late night happy hour Monday through Friday, 2 to 6 and 9 to close. Select $2 drafts, $4 mixed drinks, and $4 apps. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports, and please drink responsibly. At Mastro Subaru, the guys there, they are stick carriers themselves, and they want to help other stick carriers out. Go to Mastro Subaru with one of their locations in Tampa or Orlando and let them know that you're a stick carrier. You get special stick carrier pricing. Whether you're looking for a new car or a pre-owned vehicle, they've got them all at Mastro Subaru. Check them out, MastroSubaru.com.
This is a real movement of real people. You can't stop this movement. You can tell us to cool it or else it's not going to work. We're self-sustaining.
You see how we play as a family? You see what we do as a family? I can't feel my face, and the answer is unequivocally yes.
Bucks Uncensored.
I'm tired of getting disrespected. Yeah. I'm tired of low expectations. I know what we about. I know what we about. I know how great we are. Let's keep stacking them W's and let's do it as a family. More happy. Let's get it.
Let's go, Bucks! Let's go, Bucks! Let's go, Bucks!
4 weeks away from the NFL draft, the biggest party the Tampa Bay area will see all year long. The 2018 Bucks Uncensored Draft Party. Who will we be blowing the roof off for? Well, it's that time of year. Those of you that have listened to Bucks Uncensored for the last few years, especially last year, as the stick carrier movement grew, you know this guy maybe as well as I do. From thedraftwire.com, part of the USA Today Wire networks, he is our NFL draft insider, and right here from the Tampa Bay area, we are lucky to call him our own, Luke Easterling. Hi, Luke.
Top of the evening, my friend. How are you?
It is excellent to have you on, and I know we're going to get to have you on every week leading up to the draft, and things have changed mightily since the last time you and I spoke. Obviously, there's no sense in going into too much detail about what's happened, but Jason Light's got two new defensive ends. He's got a new center. He's moving Marpet to guard, and really has opened up things for what the Buccaneers can do with the seventh overall pick, hasn't it?
You know, we talk about this every year. Free agency, it's not necessarily about making the flashiest moves. It's about doing everything you can to address the biggest needs in the most sensible ways so that you can go into the draft with the freedom to focus more on adding the best overall players instead of reaching and trying to fill needs. And I think it didn't take, you know, a genius to look at this year's class of pass rushers in the draft and say that if the Bucks really wanted to get an impact player, they needed to try to find one on the market, whether that was via trade, which they did, or via free agency. And you've talked about it many times before how difficult it is for edge rushers to come in and make an immediate impact in the NFL, because they're usually worked in slowly and rotated in. I think the way that Jason Light approached this and was able to get a veteran like Jason Pierre-Paul, some just upgrading the depth overall across the entire unit with Bo Allen and Mitch Unrein, Vinny Curry, who I think was fantastic situation falling into their lap there as a late cut from the Eagles. Just, you know, completely remade the depth of that entire unit and really frees them up to see what the draft gives them at seven. When you don't need a quarterback in the top 10, it really gives you a chance to get maybe a top five player outside the top five because you know a couple of quarterbacks are going to go early.
All right, let's talk about, you know, these seven. So the Bucs have the seventh pick. You know how I usually like to approach it is, can I come up with seven players that I would like to be on the board when the Buccaneers are on the clock? And, you know, if I come up with seven, one of them definitely will. Well, it's the top three. It's Saquon Barkley, Bradley Chubb, and Quentin Nelson. Those are my top three guys in this draft. And then, of course, you got the four quarterbacks. And the reason I throw the four quarterbacks there, Luke, is most likely there's a good chance three of them go before the Bucs pick, meaning that last one could be sitting there, which means, you know, if the Bills haven't traded up yet, the Arizona Cardinals could be looking, the Miami Dolphins could be looking, or who knows, maybe even a team like the San Diego Chargers. Teams start to get desperate, you know, to get that last big quarterback. I know you're big on Lamar Jackson, and he could very well be maybe a pick later on in the first round. But, you know, of those top four that we keep hearing about, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, we know about Baker Mayfield as well, and Josh Allen. You know, if there's one of those quarterbacks left on the board, and let's say the Bills haven't traded up yet, you could look at the Bills and Arizona Cardinals as ideal teams to where the Bucs, if those top three players are gone, you just auction off the pick, don't you?
Yeah, and I think that losing that third round pick in the trade for Jason Pierre-Paul probably adds a little bit of interest on Jason Light's part to move off of that pick if he gets a sweet enough deal. Mostly because, especially if those top three guys that you mentioned, Barkley, Chubb, and Nelson, if they happen to be off the board along with a few quarterbacks, I definitely think that the Bucs could get, you know, maybe the same type of player value-wise that they would get at seven down. Maybe if it's at 12 where the Bills could trade it, you know, with them. If you can get Derwin James at 12, you know, why not try to make that deal? You know, we don't see safeties typically go in the top 10. You know, James is a fantastic athlete, I really wouldn't mind him at seven, but I think there's a good chance if they move down to 12 with the Bills, maybe pick up one of those extra second round picks that Buffalo has, there's a chance that they could get the guy that they might take at seven and get an extra pick.
Yeah, you know, you can move down to 12. I keep looking at that Arizona Cardinal team, a team that has Sam Bradford and Mike Glennon. They could be desperate enough. You know, Jason Light has the ties there with Arizona. Could they trade up? And we saw what Kansas City did last year in giving up their first and then a first in this year's draft to move up to get Pat Mahomes. You know, the Bucs are in position to where, okay, then drop down to the 15th pick. But again, like you said, you never know. You could have a Derwin James. You could have a Geis, a running back, which is a desperate need for the Bucs. You could have a Vita Vea, who knows where he could go. Could he be there? You know, all of a sudden, you still got some players there at 15. And now you look at the Cardinals and say, you got to give us your first and third this year and your first round next year. Now the Bucs get their third round pick back this year, and they get an extra first. You know, Jason Light could be in a prime position to where he's either getting one of these top three talents, elite talents in this draft, or he can open it up and start stockpiling some picks for a roster that is already really coming together and is very young as it is.
Yeah, and I think that because that value could be so similar, it may take, you know, maybe a little less of a deal. But you got to remember, anytime you know that a team is jumping up into the top 10 for a quarterback, the team that's trading back knows that, and they have to, you know, they have to hit them up for as much as they can get. So I think if a team like Buffalo, I think teams like Miami and Cincinnati could be looking for quarterbacks without, you know, they haven't really been talked about it, but Andy Dalton and Ryan Tannehill haven't exactly set the world on fire, and they're, you know, older than I think a lot of people think they are. I think they really are what they're going to be at this point. I don't think their ceiling is any higher than what we've seen. So there are so many teams in that, you know, 10 to 20 range that could be looking to get up into that area. Again, the Kansas City move you mentioned, that wasn't really a projected trade. That wasn't one of the teams that was talked about a lot. They had Alex Smith, who's still playing at a high level. That was kind of, you know, a surprising move to see them give up those kind of resources. But wouldn't surprise me to see a team like Arizona, like the Los Angeles Chargers. I want to say San Diego every freaking time, and I think I probably will always. But, you know, Phillip Rivers can't play forever. They need to find a guy to replace him eventually. So there should be tons of options for the Bucs. It's going to become really interesting to see if one of those big name prospects is still on the board. I think Quentin Nelson's probably the most likely one because of the position he plays at guard. If he's still on the board and the Bucs have an option to trade back, that's the scenario that I think would be interesting.
If Nelson's on the board, what do you think Jason Light does? I think I know what he does.
I think he makes the pick.
I think you got to make the pick, because if you draft Nelson there, Luke, that might be one of the most drastic and biggest transformations of the line of scrimmage for one organization that we might ever see in an offseason, to where the Bucs got a Pro Bowl and in Jason Pierre-Paul, another guy who can get you 8-9 sacks in Vinnie Curry, another starter at defensive tackle, and then you talk about two interior starters that could come and make, you could turn a mediocre Bucs offensive line last year immediately into one of the biggest, nastiest, and most physical offensive lines in the NFL. It's quite a transformation you can have in one offseason.
Yeah, well, and I think it's a necessary one. I think that the difficulties that this team has on both sides of the ball, they start with not being able to control the line of scrimmage consistently. They'll have, you know, some plays and snaps here and there where they're able to do it, and you're able to say, you know, they're capable of doing this on a regular basis. That just doesn't happen. So when you know, Jason Light, Dirk Cutter kind of joined at the hip contract-wise, and the way the last 2 years have gone, when they know this year is a win-or-else situation, you have to go out and make those kinds of moves and transform the line of scrimmage. And I think that Nelson would just be the cherry on top of the offseason. I feel like he brings, not just from a skill set perspective, what he's capable of doing physically, but the way he approaches the game, the physical kick-ass mentality that you see him play with, is just something the Bucs locker room, I think, needs more of. And I think Ryan Jensen is very much that player. I think the Bucs added some guys that play the game like that, that I think is really going to help. And Nelson would just be a perfect fit.
Luke Easterling, thedraftwire.com, and I think when you look at Nelson and being able to complete that offensive line, you mentioned Jason Light and Dirk Cutter fighting for their jobs, but I think as a fan of the team and looking at what they've done this offseason, helping out their defensive line with guys who are 29 years old, the two defensive ends, but then looking at this young, physical, a nasty offensive line, that's what gives you hope, no matter who the coach is, no matter who the general manager is. If you've got an offensive line that's now going to be young, they're all going to be under contract, because you know Jason Light, or, you know, most likely, you know, if he remains on, and I would think that the Glazers are looking at this saying, how do we let him leave as general manager? You know, maybe if they're going to make a change, it would be more at quarter or at coach than at general manager, but they're going to find a way to sign Ali Marpet, Donovan Smith, and this offensive line, if they were to somehow get Nelson, they're going to be together for a long time, and we know the talent they have from left tackle all the way to right tackle, and the only one that's going to be iffy is DeMar Dotson, and I still think he's got a couple of years left before they're going to have to look at that position.
Yeah, I think you have to plan both ways if you're Jason Light and Dirk Cutter. You have to plan for the fact that you are still trying to build a foundation that continues to thrive on young talent and veteran talent, while understanding that you have to make an immediate impact. And I think Quentin Nelson is the kind of player that, even as a young prospect, would come in and make that kind of immediate impact. He's as complete a player as you'll see in this draft. I've said this multiple times, he and Saquon Barkley are basically 1A and 1B on my board overall in this draft. So you could make as strong a case for Quentin Nelson as the most complete, best prospect in this entire draft, regardless of position, that you could make for anybody in this class. So when you talk about getting that type of player at number 7, I just don't care what position he plays. That's going to be a huge boost to their roster.
How about Saquon Barkley? You know, we're looking at it and saying the three quarterbacks are going to go in the top 3 picks. You know, would the Browns take him at 4? Could the Colts take him at 6? You know, could he fall all the way to the Bucks at 7? Or running back still, you know, as high as they, you know, should be as we've seen recently? Or can you still get running backs anywhere? Then I look at the Giants with Gettleman, and he's drafted two running backs with the Panthers in the first round while he was their general manager. I think you look at the Browns, if they had a chance to pair their franchise quarterback up with a franchise running back with all the weapons they have on offense, I think it's a very slim shot that Barkley falls all the way to seven, right?
Yeah, I just don't see that happening. I mean, you know me, I'm a never-say-never kind of guy when it comes to the draft, but I just don't see any way, both in terms of overall value as a prospect and the teams that are ahead of the Bucks and the way they fit with Barkley potentially, I just don't see any way he ends up at seven.
All right, so let's say, I wouldn't even say worst-case scenario, but let's just say that Chubb's gone, Nelson's gone, Barkley's gone, Bucks sit there at seven. Nobody's really clamoring. They're not getting what they want to move down. You know, do you just move down and take whatever? I don't think so. So let's say you stay at seven. You got Minka Fitzpatrick. You got Derwin James. You got Denzel Ward. Bucks need a corner. Bucks need a safety. You know, Denzel Ward, all of a sudden people are trying to convince me that Denzel Ward is the guy the Bucks need. You know, I've talked about corners under 6 foot tall, especially within the top 10. Is Denzel Ward different, though?
You know, I want to say yes, but I feel like I'm still burned by Vernon Hargraves by taking a player at 11 a couple of years ago that's going to end up being best used as a nickel, probably for the remainder of his career. And that's not a slight on him. It's just that nickel spot has become a starting spot. But you can't spend top 10 picks on nickel corners. I just don't feel that way. And I feel like Denzel Ward, fantastic athlete, great technician at the position, has really long arms for being, sub 5'11". But at the same time, he's still that tall. You know, you taking that kind of guy in the top 10. I feel like that list that you gave me, I feel like Derwin James is probably the guy I'm most comfortable taking at seven in that situation. I feel like he's got the most upside as an athlete, the ability to come in and fit a position that the Bucks need to fill at safety in the box, being able to hang with those tight ends in coverage and run support. I like Minka Fitzpatrick as a prospect. I think he's probably a more well-rounded player than Derwin James, not quite the same kind of athlete. But unless the Bucks see him as an outside corner, as a starter at that position, I just don't know if he fits enough, what this defense needs at this time to be worth the top 10 pick for them compared to a guy like Derwin James, who I think has a very perfect fit, and his athleticism just gives him a limitless potential.
What I love most about the draft is the build-up and the anticipation and the assumptions, because that's all we can do, right, Luke? So let's assume Chubb and Barkley are gone, right? I think there's more teams that could be drafting them than maybe Nelson. Nelson could be that one player that slides to seven if the quarterbacks go early. Other than Nelson, if you're the Bucks at seven, let's just say you've got your big board and you're putting it together. After Nelson, how do your next three players line up if you're Jason Light on your big board, if you're looking best player available that fits their team? Because right now we're looking, Denzel Ward, I don't know. Minka Fitzpatrick, like him as a prospect, maybe not that high. Derwin James, if I had to go with one of those guys. Well, if it's that way, who are the next three players after Nelson that you'd be comfortable with for the Bucks at seven?
I think, like I said, number one is Derwin James, and that's by a pretty comfortable margin. He's the guy that I would feel most confident in as a top seven value in this draft. After that, it's probably Minka Fitzpatrick, because I do think he can play outside corner. I don't know if it's his best spot right away. I don't think he's quite Jalen Ramsey, who was the number one player on my board the year he came out a couple years ago. But I still think he's versatile enough and coachable enough to be able to, I mean, if you can get him to play at a high level at outside corner, you're talking about a guy who's 6'1", has the size and skill set to be a shutdown corner. It's just I hesitate to project guys at positions they didn't play quite as much. I just feel like you're taking kind of a leap of faith at that point. So, but I do like his overall makeup as a prospect. After that, it's kind of there's a lot of guys in the same range. I do like Denzel Ward a good bit, but again, unless those other two guys are off the board, I like Vita Vea a lot. I just don't know if I'm taking a a one technique nose tackle type of guy in the top 10. I just don't know if I value that position enough to use a top 10 pick on that guy. That's the point where I would get to where I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to take whatever I can get on a trade down because I feel like I can probably get that player at 12 or 15.
So after Nelson, I mean, the way you described Derwin James, and you even said before, you know, I'd rather have a safety, you know, in the early teens or even around 12. Minkah Fitzpatrick, you weren't glowing on him like you had been, like you said about Jalen Ramsey. It seems like after Nelson, for the non-quarterbacks, there's quite a drop-off. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think for the positions that the Bucs need, and honestly, it's going to come down to what the dark horse kind of that I haven't mentioned yet just depends on scheme-wise how much of a 3-4 look we might see from the Bucs this year. I don't really know, but if we were to see more of that, Harold Landry from Boston College is a name that might sneak in there. He's, you know, undersized, not the same player as Bradley Chubb at all. But I think he's a very effective pass rusher, very explosive guy, more similar to Vic Beasley, who played in Atlanta, that undersized edge guy, but played injured last year a good bit, so his production went down. But, I mean, he led the FBS in sacks the year before in 2016, and so if they're going to look for more of an undersized edge guy, Harold Landry is the name to keep in mind.
If Barkley's not the pick, if he doesn't fall to 7, that means the Bucs are in a very, very tough situation because they don't have a third round pick. They're picking early in the second round, but there's still a lot of teams there before them in the second round that have needs at running back as well. I think Jason Light would have to make a bold move. I think he'd have to trade back into the first round to get the running back that he wanted. Who should be his target?
Well, from watching other rankings and mock drafts, I kind of keep an eye on the way other people evaluate things. Darius Geis from LSU is a guy that seems to be in the late first round range. He's number 11 on my board overall. I think he's a complete player, a physical runner. When Leonard Fournette missed a good bit of the season a couple of years back, he led LSU with over 1,300 rushing yards. He's a three down player. Just an explosive back, very complete player that I think the Bucs would be, I mean, they should be ecstatic if they get the chance to land him in a trade similar to the one that they had to get Doug Martin a few years back under Mark Dominic. If they had an opportunity, if Geis is still on the board in the late 20s, those first couple picks into the 30s at the end of the first round, and it's not doesn't cost too much, he's a guy that I think is a top 10 or 12 talent in this draft, that if he's available there, it's worth moving up.
So could you imagine if they somehow got Nelson and then traded up and got Geis? I mean, you're talking about one of the most physical offenses in terms of running the football you'll find in the NFL, and they're all young, right?
Absolutely. And again, you're talking about a team that needs to have more of a physical mentality on both sides of the ball. They got pushed around in the line of scrimmage the last couple of years. They need guys that have that that approach to the game. And adding Nelson and guys would just bring that kind of personality to the ground game, and I think fans would really enjoy it.
If Nelson's not available to the Bucs at 7 and they do look to trade down, could Geis be a guy they look at 12 or 15 with the Bills pick or the Cardinals pick? Again, you don't get your guard in Nelson, but shit, go ahead and get, you know, your running back since they have such a desperate need for it.
Yeah, I think he should definitely be on the short list of people they're targeting there. The only, you know, thing that would keep me from taking him over some of the other guys we mentioned earlier on defense is just that this class, again, is so, so deep at running back and not deep enough to where they can make the same mistake they made last year, which was waiting too long to take a running back in a deep class. But definitely a situation where I think the guys that could be available at the top of the second round, whether it's Sony Michel from Georgia, Nick Chubb from Georgia, Ronald Jones from USC, Rashad Penny from San Diego State, who you and I have talked about a lot in the past. Definitely going to be a lot of attractive options, I think, for that second-round pick if they're not able to get a guy like Geis to trade down.
Luke Easterling, thedraftwire.com. I could keep asking you questions, but then we would just keep repeating ourselves over the next few weeks. So we're going to have Luke on every week leading up to the draft, and make sure you check out all of his stuff there at thedraftwire.com. I'm on there now and checking out his latest mock draft with the Bucs getting Quentin Nelson and Sony Michel with their top two picks. And if they do that, there's a good chance that somebody strips down naked and runs around Buffalo Wild Wings that night. And who knows? It might be yours truly. Very excited about that. Very excited about Luke, what Luke does at thedraftwire.com, and catch him on Twitter at Luke Easterling. Luke, we will talk to you next week, and hopefully the Bills go ahead and make that trade up to 2 so we can start talking about which of those top 3 players are going to end up falling right into the Bucks' lap.
You know it, man. Our favorite time of year. Let's do it next week.
I'm looking forward to it. Luke, thanks. We'll talk to you soon, and we will talk to you next week. All right.
Sounds good, man.
You got it. Luke Easterling, thedraftwire.com. Your Bucks takes are next. It's draft season, baby.
Bucks Uncensored.
You've heard me for years say, don't forget to try that devil crab. Well, a lot of you live outside of the Tampa Bay area. Bricado's Sandwich Shop, they've got the best devil crab and best Cuban sandwich in town. But if you don't live in Tampa, how are you going to get it? Well, I've got news for you. Bricado's ships their devil crab, their Cuban sandwiches, and all of their other food nationwide. Get more information on how you can get that devil crab delivered right to your door at BricadosSandwich.com. Friday night is your night at Sports Legends Bar and Grill in Clearwater. $7 chicken fajitas, $7 ultimate nachos, $7 domestic pitchers. Sevens are wild. It's Friday nights at Sports Legends. It's the place where you can eat like a legend and drink like a champ.
Bucks Uncensored.
This is Bucks Uncensored, thanks to Luke Easterling, thedraftwire.com. He'll be joining us every week leading up to the NFL Draft and our 2018 Bucks Uncensored Draft Party. It'll be the biggest party of 2018, especially if you're a Bucks fan. Holy shit. Buffalo Wild Wings, South Tampa, got a meeting with them at that location on Thursday. Going to start discussing the parameters. Once everything is finalized, I'll start sharing what you can expect. Ugh. Still got to get a couple of approvals. But if we get them, holy shit, are you in for a treat. Buffalo Wild Wings, if you're coming in from out of town, if you are from Tampa, St. Pete, Brandon, Sarasota, or anywhere in the state of Florida, you want a place to stay, right? You don't want to drive all the way home. You don't want to Uber all the way home. Someplace close by for the pre-party and the after-party. It's going to be at the Courtyard Marriott West Shore Airport on Cypress, which is right down Dale Mabry, probably about 5 minutes, maybe about 10 minutes from the stadium. So if you make the mistake and go to the stadium and realize how god-awful it is, don't worry. It's about a 10-minute Uber ride right down Southdale Mabry. You can come to the real party April 26th and 27th. The hotel, the official hotel, is that Courtyard Marriott for the nights of April 26th and 27th, that Thursday and Friday night. Their normal rate is around $185, $190 a night. Springtime, popular time to come down. They have agreed to a rate for us, if you use our code, of $120 a night. That includes transportation to and from the draft parties both nights. Rooms are going fast. If you do want to stay at the official hotel, the official Bucks Uncensored Draft Party Hotel, give them a call, the Courtyard Marriott, directly. You must call them directly, 813-874-0555. That's 813-874-0555. You must give them the code, or you're not going to get the $120 rate. The code is M-BL53YB2. M-BL53YB2. Get your rooms. Either get it for that Thursday night, get it Thursday night, Friday night. Get some friends so you don't have to fork over the cash all on your own. And get ready to have a blast. People are still talking about last year's party. People are still talking about the takeover. And we're going to continue to do these type of events, both in Tampa and outside of Tampa. More on that in a few weeks. Let's get some Buck Steaks, shall we? It is good. I mean, we are seeing new names. We are seeing old names. Everyone's coming out. Everyone is converging on the Bucks Uncensored Draft Party. The Stick Carriers uniting again in South Tampa. Let's hear some of them. You can always send in your Bucks takes. Record your voice on your phone. Email it to BucksUncensored@gmail.com. BucksUncensored@gmail.com. And you could be joining us right here on the Bucks Uncensored podcast. Much like our buddy, Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Kamish, Stick Carriers. Steve from Tampa. It's been a long time since I've done a Bucks take. But listening to the mock draft Monday and all the moves the Bucks have made, I'm getting pretty hyped. You know, getting a crew together for the draft party, introduce them to the Stick Carrier movement. You know what? You said the podcast is for the fans. Well, I'm going rogue. Mock draft Wednesday. I think in the first round, the Giants are going to get Chubb. I think the Bills are going to move up. They're going to trade with the Browns, and I think all the quarterbacks are going to be gone by the time Indy gets there. And they have Marlon Mack. I think they're going to end up taking Nelson, which leaves Barkley for us. And in the second round, I don't think it really matters who we pick, because if we get Barkley and the moves we've made, I think we're going to be in really good shape. All right, Stick Carriers, I hope you like that take. And speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick.
Of course we're carrying it, always. Let me say this about the Giants and Gettleman. He likes his running backs. Remember, he was that GM. He was the GM in Carolina. They drafted D'Angelo Williams. They drafted Jonathan Stewart. Giants need a running back. Would not surprise me one bit if the Giants took Barkley with the second overall pick. I was talking to my dad earlier today. I was like, man, just Bills, just make that trade up with the Giants. Let's start getting some teams desperate here. Bucks are in a good position, though, as we talked about with Luke earlier. Top three players, four quarterbacks, seven players. One of them's going to be there. Either the last quarterback or one of those top three players. Bucks are in a great position. Sorry. Let's get Dave, who's on with us. Hey, Dave.
Good morning, Kamish. It's David and Brandon. Well, it's morning when I'm saying this, so good morning. So I just got done listening to Monday's podcast, and I don't know what my problem is, but maybe I'm the only Buccaneer fan that isn't really all that excited about this JPP trade. I mean, I'm happy we made a move finally. I think JPP's a good player. I don't think it's enough. You know, I look at the Rams, and they had a good team last year, and they've made many moves on the offseason, including, you know, just now adding Sue to their lineup to improve. And what have we done? We've made one move. And while JPP is a good player, what health does he have? I don't know. I'm not saying I would want to. I think, you know, I think Sue's going to come with his set of issues and possibly disrupt the harmony in L.A. But my point is, they're making moves. What are we doing? Frustrated, I guess. But anyway, hopefully the draft will bring some more players that will help actually improve this team. Only time will tell. I'm trying not to be a poo-pooer, but I don't know. It is what it is. I guess it's many years of being scarred by these guys. Anyways, look forward to the draft. Look forward to hanging out with y'all.
Are you?
Until then, speak softly.
Man. Down in the dumps, Dave. Maybe it was early in the morning. Maybe that was your fault. You know, no one move is going to change a franchise, but a collective group of moves within a matter of days could. I'm not even saying these three players are going to completely change the Bucks franchise, but they're part of the process. They let us know kind of a, or gave us a glimpse of Jason Light's plan. Help the offensive line, help the defensive line, win the line of scrimmage. You win the line of scrimmage, you got a great chance of winning a game. You lose the line of scrimmage, and you get what you got last season. Pierre Paul had 8.5 sacks. He played like 90% of the Giants' defensive snaps last year. Can play the run, can play the pass. Yeah, I think that was a great move for a third-round pick and a swap of fourths, so you get an earlier fourth-round pick. Zero issue with that. Zero. Vinny Curry, nice signing. Jensen, nice signing. You somehow get Nelson, and holy shit, you have completely transformed your offensive and defensive lines. You know, they still have other, they're not going to fill all their needs. So for those of you that are like, well, what about this? And what about that? They're not going to fill all their needs. But they had so many needs coming into this offseason. If you can solidify both lines of scrimmage, you can figure it out at corner and safety over the next couple of years. But the good news is they have a ton of options to do so. They have options to get younger along their defensive line in the next couple of drafts. This draft isn't great at defensive end. All right, so let's get some veterans at defensive end this year that are 29, and maybe we can address defensive end in the next couple of drafts early on. Corner, safety. If your lines are not competing at the highest level, you have no shot. So we can sit here and rate what the needs are on this team. The needs were in the trenches. That's why they got their asses handed to them against Minnesota, against Arizona, Carolina, New Orleans, early on in the season. The season was lost at that point. They were done. Jason Light doesn't want that to happen again. Sorry you're down in the dumps, Dave. I do hope that you'll be able to bounce back at some point, though.
I'm sure that you have heard the name Aldolfo. A ladies' man who wins a claim, Aldolfo. Well, lovely miss, I am the same Aldolfo. I introduce myself, I am Aldolfo.
Yo, what's going on, Bucks fans? What's going on, Kamish? It's Aldolfo from Fort Lauderdale, just calling in a Bucks take. Hey, man, I just wanted to make sure all the Bucks fans' perspective is correct. These past few off seasons, we've all been very hyped up on the moves, and yes, we're all excited off-season champions, yay! I just want to say, you know, not to be a Debbie Downer. Just remind everybody, make sure y'all still holding this team accountable. Make sure y'all not giving them a pass because they make some pretty signings or do some pretty things when they not even keep a score. They not keep a score, so this shit don't even matter. If they don't win, all this shit is for naught. That's all I'm saying. They got to come out there and hit somebody in the mouth. I want to see it. So I'm not giving nobody a pass yet. I'm just saying... they'll change my mind when I see them winning on the football field. But besides that, how I feel about the draft, can't even lie. You know, the JPP trade, I loved it, and the Jensen signing, I loved it. I love the flexibility it gives us, but I still want either Chubb or Nelson in the draft. If they're not there for the Bucks, personally, I'm in the camp. Everybody might disagree with me. I don't really care. You either trade up or trade down. Trade up for one of those two guys who are can't miss. Surefire ballers. You're going to be ballers on your team for a very long time. Or trade down and get more picks if they're not there. I'm not drafting a safety seven, especially Derwin James. I'm not a big fan of Derwin James personally. I think he takes bad angles to the ball. He's invisible for a large parts of the game. And he's not the playmaker he was his first year when he had a much better team around him. So, I mean, is it dependent on his team, or is he a baller? Is he the playmaker of the team? I don't know, but I thought he wasn't doing much this year. I wouldn't take him at seven. I would take Minka Fitzpatrick before I took him. And I'm not drafting a corner or a safety in the first. I'm waiting for these later rounds. Maybe unless you got like a surefire Hall of Fame corner, lockdown corner, I'm not taking no corner in the first round. Either offensive lineman, defensive lineman, or a quarterback. So if they do trade down, I hope they trade down for Vita Vea or Marcus Davenport, one of these big boys. And then get a running back in a second. Do it that way, and these boys will be straight. If they trade down, they'll also get a few extra picks, which would be amazing. Hoping for the best, man. Hoping for a great season this year. This was Adolfo from Fort Lauderdale. Thank you, Kamish. Thank you for the opportunity. Take care. Y'all stay safe. Go Bucks.
What is up? Come on. Let's build some momentum here. Listen, Adolfo, I'm not saying that we're not going to hold him accountable, but I'm excited about some of these moves. These are different moves than what we saw a year ago. Building the trenches just like you want. You know what? I'm going to allow the fan inside of me to come out. I'm going to allow myself to get excited. Sports is nothing but entertainment. Some people take it way more seriously than it should be. It's entertainment. It's my entertainment dollar. This is my extra income that I can spend on the team to go and cheer them on 8 times a year in the regular season. Okay? I'm going to sit at home and watch the away games as well. If we don't have some, you know, stick carrier watch parties, of course. But I'm going to allow myself to get excited. I'm going to be at that training camp takeover. I'm going to be fucking beside myself. And if they get out to a slow start in the season, I'm going to hold them accountable. Again, it's my money. It's my entertainment dollar. It's your entertainment dollar. You are allowed to give any opinion that you want to, just like I am. Nobody's right. Nobody's wrong. If you were right all the time, fucking team would hire you. They haven't hired me. All we're doing is saying what we think they should do. Sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong. But all of the time, we want one thing, and that's for them to win. So, Adolfo, allow yourself to be excited. It's okay. If they disappoint you in the season, then let them know. It's okay. It's your money. It's your entertainment dollar. It's your time spent watching them. If you're not entertained by an entertaining supposed product, which the NFL is supposed to be, and the Bucks are part of the NFL, it's okay to be disappointed, and it's okay to voice that displeasure. When Spectrum pisses me off, I'm going to let them hear about it. Or any other company's customer service pisses me off. I'm going to let them hear about it. Why should my sports entertainment dollar be any different? But you know what? For the time being, let's get this hype train going. Because every year for the past 10 years, I have believed that this is the year they turn it around. And while each of those previous 10 years I was left disappointed, I still believe this upcoming season is the season they turn it around. You cannot sway that excitement from me. But we've had a couple of down Bucks takes in a row. Somebody's got to reach deep within our souls and electrify us. Get us fired up for the 2018 Bucks Uncensored Draft Party.
Justin, Lou from Port Richey, man. Listen, man, I'm reading all these news that's coming in from the NFL owners meeting. And, you know, we're getting some nuggets, bro. You know, Ali's going back to, he's going to left guard. We still don't know what the hell's going on with Sweezy, man. Of course, Jensen's going to be our new starting center. Another nugget was, we're going into camp with, Peyton as of right now, starting. but they did say they were going to address the running back. You think? But anyway, bro. Also, he said he was hopeful that Jameis wasn't going to get miss any time or get suspended, bro. Bro! Dude! Dude, we're hopeful too, bro! I just renewed! You know, I like Fitzmagic. He's nice for maybe a game or two, bro. But not six games. I ain't renew for Fitzmagic, bro. You know what I'm saying? I'm fucking hopeful too, man. You know, I dropped $2 for my hopefulness for my short-term investment on the Mega Millions down here in Florida, man. It's at $458 million fucking dollars! So I'm a little hopeful, man. If I hit that motherfucker, I hope to make it to the draft party, bro. I hope I'm alive by then, bro. Because insanity will ensue. And if we get to the draft party, oh shit. Fellas, it will be fun. But anyway, I will see you bitches there. You guys have a good time. Oh, man. Millions, bro. 458, man. It would be evilness, man. But it would be right. Speak softly, fellas. And carry the big motherfucking stand!
Oh, man. It is back. I love it, Lou. I love it. You got me all fired up, man. I cannot wait for the draft party. Woo! God almighty. Adam's up with us. Hey, Adam.
Hey, what's up, Kamish? This is Adam from Iowa. I've never been on the show, and I was listening today to some of the other Bucks takes, so I thought I would chime in on my best-case scenario for the draft. Yeah, obviously, I would love to have one of the three guys, whether it's Nelson, Chubb, or Barkley. But I think best-case scenario for the Bucks is, let's say all three of those are off the board and one of the good quarterbacks falls to 7. I think we could trade with the Bills or another team and we could get picks. Say for the Bills, we get picks 12, 21, and I don't know, maybe a second round or third round. I think our best case scenario is one of the good quarterbacks falls and we just rape the shit out of one of those needy teams. They will give up everything for a stud quarterback. So, not saying the quarterback's being a stud, but in their eyes, they'd probably give us whatever the fuck we wanted for him. So, like I said, I think the best case scenario for the Bucks is, yeah, I would love one of those three players, but if one of those good quarterbacks falls to 7, we just get those other teams in fucking a bidding war and I say we try to trade rape someone. That's my take on it. But go Bucks. And speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick.
I like your thinking, though. If one of those quarterbacks is left and the top three players are gone, you're in a great spot. Let's say the Bills haven't traded up yet. The Bills are there. Dolphins maybe could. Team to watch out for is the Arizona Cardinals at 14. So you got 11, 12, and 14. You know, the Jets moved up from 6 to 3 and gave up 3 second round picks. 12 to 7. Okay, it's not into the top 5, but it's for that last quarterback. Teams do desperate things for quarterbacks. No, I'm not going to ask the Bills for both their first round picks this year. I'll tell the Bills, I need you first. I need 2 second rounds this year. I believe they have 2 second round picks. And I need a second rounder next year. I need 3 second round picks to move up to get your quarterback. What's it worth to you? Bucks move back to 12. Vita Vea. Derwin James. Geis. I mean, they're all there on the board. Most likely. You got your pick. Fuck, trade down again. Arizona, if Arizona's involved. Price is a little steeper for them. Dropping from 7 to 14 now. I need Arizona's first this year. First and second or first. Actually, you know what I would ask for? I want their first and third this year. And I want their first round pick next year. I get my third round pick back for Jason Pierre-Paul. So I have my first, second, and third this year. And I have the second pick in the fourth round now. And then next year, by the way, Arizona's quarterbacks are Sam Bradford, Mike Glennon, and a rookie. The odds are in my favor that the Cardinals are going to possibly have a top 10 pick next year. That would be mine. Either move would be a great move for the Bucks, unless one of those top three players is on the board. Tough to bypass one of those top three players, Chubb, Nelson, Barkley, for a trade down. Because all three of those players have elite characteristics about them. But I like your thinking, Adam. Brad's up with us. Hey, Brad. Is Brad there? Brad?
What's up, Justin? It's Brad from Atlanta Lakes. Hey, listen, to be in the military, sometimes for certain jobs, you got to be very, very smart. Sometimes you got to be a little crazy. Sometimes a little lucky. So what I'm going to say about the draft picks is a combination of all three. Boy, it'll probably sound crazy. I'm predicting that the first five picks, you heard it right, the first five, will be historical. They will all be quarterbacks. Allen at one, not Darnold. Darnold at two. Rosen at three. Denver trades down with Cleveland to get Baker Mayfield. Arizona trades with Cleveland because they're like, oh shit, everybody's going. So they get what's left over. Be Lamar, be whomever. I think the sleeper quarterback is Mike White out of the Western Kentucky, from what I've seen on film and everywhere else, the eyeball test. But there you go, the first five picks. That leaves Barkley or Chubb for Indy, maybe even Nelson. And lo and behold, our Bucks would have either Nelson, Chubb, Barkley, Ward, Fitzpatrick, on and on. And any one of those would be good. I also predict there's three teams, if those players are there, will come up and trade, want to trade with the Bucks. Now, I'm not saying going all the way back to like 30. But hey, maybe going back to like, you know, 10 to 12 or something. You pick up more picks, there you go. Hey, love the podcast. Let's take care of Pages and the United community this group has formed for Buck fans and NFL fans in general. All right, take care.
Okay, Brad, speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick. Five quarterbacks with the first five picks. That would be a record. I don't see that happening, though. My favorite running back of all time. He's a guy I played with at Tampa Catholic High School. We called him Booty. It's JR. Hello, JR.
What's up, Pulowski? This your boy, JR, your favorite running back. Sending in a Bucks take for the first time in a while. You know how the season was. I was pissed. Then in the offseason, the beginning, I was pissed. But I'm happy again because we did some shit that we were supposed to do. But I got a question for you.
Great question, Justin.
I'm tweeting it out.
I don't understand Polish.
But the sweating continued.
Thanks, Jason.
I love being with you and answering all your tough questions.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great question.
He's going to be still the tallest of an offense that has big, big height on it. Crushed it! Girl,
And my question is, if the draft falls the way the Bucks would like it to fall with, say, Chubb, Barkley, and Nelson there, do you think the Bucks would trade out of the pick, say, if Saquon Barkley's there? Because as I look at the running backs, and granted, I played the position, but I'm not a professional scout, I don't think Barkley is as high above the rest. Maybe his combine numbers say so, but tape don't lie. And there's some really, really, really good running backs that's going to be there. I'm of the opinion, I think the Bucks are praying that Barkley is taken so they can take that seventh pick and pray that Nelson is there. And if Nelson's not there, because Chubb's not going to be there, I'm sorry to let everybody know, Chubb's not going to be there. Chubb might go number one overall. Don't be surprised. But I think the Bucks really would like to trade out of that pick. I don't know. Just a thought. But, hey, shout out to all the sponsors. And let me see if I can make it down for the draft party. I've been working on some really, really big projects. So you know how that goes. But anyways, speak softly and carry that big motherfucking stick.
Love it. Love it, JR. I didn't play running back. But guys like Barkley aren't, they don't come out every year. And I am not of the belief that you can get running backs anywhere anymore. The Bucks have to get a running back early. Okay, nobody believed Dirk Cutter when he said at the meetings on Monday that Peyton Barber is their star. Peyton Barber's our guy. Okay. All right. Let's just pump the brakes a little bit on that. Okay. Not on the enthusiasm. We leave pumping the brakes on that to our buddy, TJ. But in terms of running backs, when you've got a running back that's 230 pounds, benches like 29 reps on the bench press, strong as hell, can catch the ball and run a 4.340. It's unique, unique talent. Who ran behind a shit offensive line for Penn State. But he's a running back that has the ability to be a game breaker every time he touches the ball. But also is a running back that will be out there all the time. You don't have to worry about having a third down back. You don't. He's your third down back because he's a hell of a receiver and he's fast as shit. So you have running backs that could spell him, sure. But he's a game breaker. And I'd like him, I'd like Geis, I'd like Michelle. There's a number of running backs that I'd like. But he's special. That's why he's going to be an early draft pick. Geis will probably fall to the latter half of the first round. Michelle, Chubb, guy from USC, I think his name is Jones. You know, they're going to be there probably second round picks. What about this scenario? Trade down with Buffalo, get Derwin James, maybe, or Vita Vea, one of the two. Get a defensive guy. Then in the second round, like I said, both of Buffalo's second round picks and a second rounder next year. And then in the second round, you get, I don't know, Michelle and Chubb and a guard. I mean, the Bucks and Light have so many possibilities, it's endless. Not that that would be realistic, but I'm just saying. Running back has to be addressed in the first two rounds. The NFL knows it. So the question is, when is Light going to make his move to get his running back? Because Peyton Barber is not their running back this year. Can't be. Cannot be. All right, that's it. Appreciate it, JR. You're the last Bucks take to come on the Bucks Uncensored podcast. Draft party is just about 4 weeks away. 4 weeks away from Thursday. I'll have a meeting Thursday night and If we can finalize a couple of items, we'll start announcing some of the things you can expect to see at the 2018 Bucks Uncensored Draft Party at Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa. And we'll continue with this podcast 2 times a week. Don't forget, coming up on Monday, it's Mock Draft Monday. That's where you send in your Bucks takes about what you think is going to happen within the Bucks' first 2 picks. They don't have a third-round pick now. Now, you could give yourself a third-round pick if you trade back. All options are on the table for you. Make it realistic and tell us who you think the Buccaneers will target and end up with at the end of April in a Bucks take. Just record your voice, your phone. You email it to BucksUncensored@gmail.com. This podcast 2 times a week. Subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Podcast Addict, and Podbean. We love our partner in JoeBucksFan.com. The podcast posts there at their website first thing in the morning. If you subscribe, you'll get the podcast uploaded directly to your mobile device at around noon on each of those days. We love our sponsors. They're the ones that make this podcast happen. Buffalo Wild Wings, the host of the 2018 Bucks Uncensored Draft Party. Tremendous partner they are, and they've got their happy hour, late night happy hour going on every day. So make sure you go by there and take advantage of those $4 appetizers and discounted drinks as well. Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings, Beer, Sports. Mastro Subaru, 2 locations, one in Orlando, one right here off of Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans in Tampa. Huge selection of new and pre-owned vehicles, and they are the only dealership giving stick carriers special pricing. Just tell them you're a stick carrier, and you will get a special discount on your next vehicle. Mastro Subaru and MastroSubaru.com. Mercado Sandwich Shop, best devil crab and Cuban sandwich in town. I think we're going to set up a lunch for the Friday after the first night of the draft, so be prepared for that. We'll go by, we'll see Mike, and we'll try that devil crab. And Sports Legends Bar and Grill, corner of US 19 and Drew in Clearwater. Just a tremendous location, tremendous place, and the place that launched this whole thing off last year. If you're looking for a great place to watch the Lightning as they make their run, Sports Legends, place to be. Also, as we wind down here, spring training just about over. Make sure you make your way to Sports Legends right there by the Philly Stadium in Clearwater. Food is fresh daily. It's the only place where you can eat like a legend and drink like a champ. All right, next podcast coming up is Monday. We will have a mock draft Monday. So send in those Bucks takes. We'll get to those, and we will continue to lead up to the stick carriers uniting again for the 2018 Bucks Uncensored Draft Party. We rally around one saying and one saying alone, and that, of course, is this.
Shh. Speak softly and carry a big motherfucking stick.
You betcha. Nailed it.
Go Bucks.